דרך ארץ קדמה לתורה. The way of the land comes before all of the learnings. The simple understanding is that the way of the land, דרך ארץ, is how you behave. Before every teaching and learning and new understanding that you have, you need to behave like a normal, good, simple human being. There is totally something that is common between all of humankind and all of the nations inside it. Moshe Rabbeinu is the example for the one that reached the highest point that a human being can reach.
It's more perfect than Abraham.
In a way, yes. He was the one that got closest to perfect.
Moshe.
Yes. No one is perfect. And that new book of Dvarim, Dvarim is Diburim. It's all the things that Moshe wanted to tell the nation, people of Israel, before he's about go out of the stage and give his student Yeshua his part as the leader of the nation to conquer the Holy Land of Israel. So as a leader, you know a lot about the nation from an angle that only the leader can have. And straight away in the beginning, the first message that Moshe is giving the people is how kind and good he was trying to be, how he was and still judging only favorably all of their actions. But it wasn't enough. It just wasn't enough. He's saying, I cannot carry all of you by my own. I cannot do it myself. לא אוכל לבדי שאת אתכם. I cannot do it by my own to carry you. And to me, one of the words in that verse, שאת, is reminding the story of Bereshit. After the sin, God is saying to the humankind, אם תטיב שאת, if you'll do good, you can carry on. You failed, you did something wrong. You feel like everything is destroyed. It's all... Don't worry. You're able to carry on. How? If you try to improve. If you try to do good, you can carry on. Im tetiv se'et, it's the same word. And that message is so basic. With all of the attitude of Moshe Rabbeinu to the people, during all of the way, I tried to do as good as I could, but it's never enough. It's never enough. It's going to be enough only when you do your own good yourself. When you go and find your own private, individual path, with my guidance, with my teachings, I will learn how to feel you, how to sense your specialty, and to guide you to your own private individual path. And the righteous man will help you find your path. And Hashem, of course. We also need to look for true righteous people in our generations. There are some. And to follow their guidance. The way to find your path is only goes through the ability to trust. And we need to learn how to trust Hashem, and we need to learn how to trust our guide.
How to choose a guide?
That's a great question, but I don't think I'm able to just answer it now. If you listen carefully to my message about Moshe in that class, you can understand what's my opinion about how to choose a guide, okay? Because Moshe is the model of the perfect guide, the closest to perfect, like we said. This is my opinion, you know. It's a great question to ask anyone that you want to learn from, how to choose a guide. It's a perfect question. Go with it, always. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, I tried to do as good as I could. I did everything the best way that I was able. And especially with judging you favorably and looking at the good of you. Even though that you were fighting with me and screaming at me and whining all day, I was only looking at your good. But it's never enough. It was never enough. And if you really want to get into the land of Israel, if you really want to conquer the Holy Land, it's going to be different, because there is a basic need that you will do your own good and stop depending on me. Stop depending on others. A leader is only a job. It's a very, very important job. It's a very, very huge influence position. But it's only a job. And to do good is the mission of each and every one of us. Not to depend on our leaders.
You should find a leader, but don't depend on them?
Yes.
That makes sense.
Trust them and follow their guidance.
Oh, so you want a healthy relationship with your leader?
Yes.
Okay. You want a healthy relationship?
Yes. If you think your leader is wrong, you need still to understand that he is the leader and to let him do his mistakes. You know, but don't do wrong yourself.
How is that trust?
That exactly trust. You let him do his mistakes as a leader. But to follow guidance is something else. This is why maybe it's confusing, because a leader is not always a guide. We know leadership as politics. It's not that kind of leadership that I'm talking about now. But also in politics, if you want to let your politicians rule and bring and do something, you need to learn how to shut up and let them do it. Okay, democracy, okay, but let something happen. If everyone has what to say and his opinion is so important, it's not going to get nowhere, because no one is able to lead and to rule. Okay? It's complicated, of course, it's complicated. I'm not saying that there is no place to express your feelings and to express your opinions is very important. But as long as there is a ruler or a leader that is was chosen, he also needs to have the ability to do whatever he believes in. He was chosen for that. Anyway, in spiritual matters, freedom and free choice is the base. And to choose to be dependent on someone means to give away that freedom and that free choice. And Moshe Rabbeinu, as the true righteous man, as the true guide, is saying, before you will take your own lives in your hands, before you choose how to do the good according to what you understand and to your vessels, it's never going to be enough. So this is, first of all, the first attribute of the perfect, holy leader. Everyone needs to find their own responsibility to do good. Now Moshe is going through all of the 40 years in the desert, in that parasha. And for an example, he's bringing the idea of the meraglim, of the spies. You brought an idea. You had an ambition. You had something that you wanted to do, and it was good in my eyes. And that's a huge question. How could it be that it was good? Because Moshe knew, and Hashem told him, that's how it's written in that parasha when it's talking about the meraglim. Hashem is telling Moshe, Shlach lecha, to your own opinion. If you want to send the spies, send them to your own opinion. I'm not recommending that. It's not a good idea in my eyes. How could it be that today Moshe, looking back, is saying it was good in my eyes? There is something that the true righteous man that needs to lead humans, there is something in that position, in that job to lead, that is also needs to go in a way against the will of the Creator. Hashem thinks it's a bad idea, because he knows the truth.
Right.
But to bring someone to a better reality without having him as a part with a free choice in the process, it's not the true good for him. Hashem knows the futures. What?
He needs to make mistakes?
Hopefully not, but yes. He needs to have a free choice. He needs to choose. He needs to be a part of what's happening.
So where does it become free choice and then stupid?
Stupidity is a part of a free choice. You have the option to be stupid.
He knows what's good. He chooses bad.
Again. This is the question about Moshe, exactly. This is the question. What did Moshe like in that idea of sending the spies against the will of Hashem? My answer is that Moshe liked the fact that they have an idea to participate in the move, to be a part, to take a part. Again, this is the message during all of the way. It's not enough when I'm doing it all for you. This week we had a conversation with my wife and children. My wife asked me, she had a test, a very big test, and she had to learn a lot, huge amount of information. So she said, I wish I had a chip, you know, some to put in my brain and to know all the information without investing so much time and stress in it. And then she took it a step forward and she asked me, what would you do? Do you like that chip? If I give you a chip with all of the Torah inside it, do you want to know it? And I told her, Chas v'shalom. Chas v'shalom. No way. I don't want it at all. I totally deny that idea. She said, why? Don't you want to know all of the Torah? To know it and to remember it? To have every verse that you're looking for, every thought, question that you have, you can search all of the books, you have it already inside. Chas v'shalom.
There's no learning, there's just knowing.
Exactly. The Torah is not information. The Torah is not information. The real learning in Torah is the, in Hebrew we say yegi'ah, to work for it. To work and just with tears, with sweat. This is the real learning. This is how you get the real learnings. It's not information. And it's worse than that, because if you know it as information, you know it's written, Zachas Naset Lo Sam Chaim, if you purified yourself, if you worked for it, if you achieved it, honestly and truly, it becomes a poison of life. But if not, it's a poison. It's the other way. It can kill you. And that death that we talk about is arrogance. To know everything is to be arrogant. But if you got and worked for it, and you achieved it, and you worked for all of it, and now you know everything, you won't be arrogant, because you know how hard it is.
Yeah.
because you know that someone that doesn't have the powers or the environment that allows it and doesn't know as much as you do, you understand how hard it is, and you can understand him and judge him favorably, exactly like Moshe Rabbeinu. So against the will of Hashem to tell him that the spies is a bad idea, Moshe Rabbeinu chooses to let the people send the spies because it was their own idea. Like a good educator. And we need to redefine between teacher and educator and separate. And hopefully every teacher is going to be a good educator. But anyway, every good educator knows that when you find spark in the eyes of your student, something that excites him and you're really into it, you follow it. Because this is how he and you are going to find his real purpose and real individual path in life. This is the moment when his real self is revealing itself. So first of all, look in the eyes. But
so the spark is how you find your path in life?
Yes. A spark is a very, very good hint. Strong message. So what happened in the spies in the story? You see, I was encouraging you to do, to make your ideas true. You saw all of the evidence to the huge bounty. All of the spies said that it's a land of milk and honey. No one was claiming different. But you heard two opinions. One was good and one was bad. The good one said, we can do it. If Hashem says it's meant for us, now we see that it's a good place. It's very simple to understand, because Hashem wants our good. But the second opinion said, we cannot do it, because we're too weak and we don't deserve it. And if we're too weak and we don't deserve it, Hashem is not kind enough and not merciful enough to give it to us. If you twist it by all commentators and all opinions, this is the conclusion. We don't deserve it, and Hashem is not merciful and kind enough to give it to us when we don't deserve it. This is where it gets. In what opinion you chose to believe? Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, me as a leader, I gave you the option to take initiative, and I followed your idea. But when it came to the true learning and teachings, you didn't listen to me. What do you choose to believe?
Moshe.
What do you choose? What? Not who. Not who. What voice do you choose to believe? Yes, this
Moshe.
Is... Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Now it's the right answer. Exactly. What do you choose to believe? Rashi says, imagine to yourself a king that had two fields, yes. Imagine to yourself a king that has two fields. One is one that you water and you take care of, and one is just wild, it gets the rain, and also it has its fruits. Who would he give the good field? The one that he loves. Right? The one that you take care of, that it watered. And the other field, who would he give? The one, okay. Rashi brings that as an example to what the people are claiming. We've been to Egypt. Egypt is the good field, because it has the Yeor, the river, the Nile, that is going up and it's watering the fields around it. And you're giving us the land of Israel. There is no Nile in it. What's that story about? Again. And what is the real good? Again. The people are whining because they want someone to do what they need to do. You're asking for help, but you don't want help, because help is when you try and you're not able to do it by your own and someone helps you.
So they're lazy.
They're asking for help, but they don't do nothing. Yes, it's spiritual laziness. And also physical, actually. Also physical. Now, I'm not judging no one that is lazy. I'm lazy. I'm not judging no one for that, but at least admit. Don't find someone to blame in your lackings. Don't find no one to blame with your laziness. The land that is watered by itself is not the good land. The good land is the land that you find yourself devoting your life for a certain truth, and you finding yourself during that process of doing and doing and looking for new ideas, for initiative.
Yeah.
You're finding your initiative inside of you to take it and to use it and to do it, to have it. If you have a huge vault filled with billions and billions of whatever, if you don't take care of it and bring more inside it, it's going to be empty one day. If you only use it, it's going to be empty one day.
But miracles happen.
Yes. What kind of miracles?
That the money won't be there.
No, it's not a problem. It's enough for your own life. It's also enough for your children or your grandchildren. But the question is, where are you in that picture at all? Are you only greedy to take it to yourself? Or you want to share it? Or you want to be a part? Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, we walked through the lands, we saw the land of Esav, we saw the land of Moab, we saw that land, we saw that land. Hashem gave them the lands. Why wouldn't he give you a land? Why do you believe that bad understanding, that wrong understanding of reality? Why don't you believe in yourself? Why don't you believe in Hashem also? If you only try to do good, you can carry on. If you only try to improve, you can carry on, but you break. And you break because you don't believe that you're able to improve. What is the reason? What's the problem here? There's no problem. Just try to improve. That's it. It's enough. What is driving you? What gives you motivation? You have physicality and spirituality. Okay. When I get to a certain point, I'm going to understand that it's all one. But now, it's a fight. It's a fight. And as much as that physicality is controlling, there is no spiritual ambition. Moshe Rabbeinu is waking up the spiritual ambition. This is what the Torah is doing. What is driving me? Asking that question, what is it? That next bite, is that what's driving me? Because I can't stand my desire for ice cream or for ketchup. What is driving me in my life? My inner urge and need is only to get more and more ketchup? What? What is driving me? Where am I aiming my life? What is the purpose of my life?
Who knows?
It's more important to ask the question than to answer it.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
Because by asking, you're going in the way. And by answering, you're gaining information. If the answer is more important than the question, you're looking for information and not for truth.
Okay.
like we said before.
Asking the question.
Yes, and going through a process. And realizing and finding an answer in reality, in life, in your heart. I've been this week to the Science Museum here in Jerusalem, and they have like an exhibition to show how alcohol is affecting the sight. Yes, so there's special glasses that make you and you come to, you need to put four numbers code on the wall, but it's all twisted because you don't, it's. And I saw one teacher, I won't say if he was religious or not. I already said. And he was, or maybe not, actually. Because you don't know how to understand me, right? I'm already mixing your minds enough. And he just took his student. You see here, you need to press the code, and he's not able. So the teacher is pressing for him to go and to just finish the exhibition. Okay, wow, amazing, you did it. But he didn't do it. He wasn't there. He never got the choice. The student wasn't there. He didn't have the choice to participate in the exhibition. Do you think he learned something?
No.
No, exactly. So what is left from that waste of time?
Maybe there was a reason, though.
Yes, the group was in a rush or whatever. Right. Right. What the answer? What? It's not the answer, you see. If you're too anxious to get your answers, it means you're only looking for, okay, I did this, I did that, that's the end of my list. You're looking for information, you don't look for the truth. You don't look for the real answer.
How do you find the real answer?
Again, by asking questions, but by having patience. And with that experience, I went with my daughter, she's 2 years old, okay, with my baby one, and there it was a bell there, tied to a rope. And she started ringing that bell. I picked her up to sit on, and it was very dangerous, so I was holding her. And then slowly I started taking my hands off her. I was guarding her, okay, but, and I saw that she's able to sit by her own and also play with that bell. So it was amazing for me. I really enjoyed my girl. And then I saw she understands the height of the bell. It, you know, a 2 years old baby, he doesn't know nothing the way you know it and don't think about it at all. This is the patience that I'm talking about. So she was trying to catch it, but she the bell was here and it wasn't around. Okay, and then she got to the right height and she was trying to catch it, but it was too fat, fast. It was running away. And then she understood she's able to just leave her hand there and then it eats her. Okay? And a few minutes later, she understood that she can take her hand even because the bell is still too big, and when she's trying to catch it, she's not able with her hand.
How old is she?
2 years old. So she understood she can take her hands even higher, and the rope is very thin. So at the moment that it hits her hand, she can close it and she will catch it. She's gone through all of that process only, and I'm very proud of that, at myself, because I had the patience not to do it for her, not to solve her problems. You see?
It's very hard as a parent.
It is very hard, and we don't even realize that we're doing it. But this is the way of Moshe. You have any good idea to offer? I let you take the initiative. Do it. Participate. Take a part. Because when we get to the Holy Land of Israel, when we get and you have all of the bounty and everything, what kind of a person are you going to be?
You don't know that.
You don't know that. Exactly. And if you're not going to participate, you're not going to honor it. You're not going to be able to enjoy it. Not going to be satisfied. You're not going to be satisfied. You're going to continue whining during all of the history like we do. Like we do. And this is what brings me to those 3 weeks that we're at. And to lacking that temple. That, what temple do you miss? What kind of a temple do you miss? What kind of redemption do you... What are you talking about at all? The facts are showing that we don't have a temple now. What does it mean? It means that there were already two temples that weren't good enough to keep itself, to guard itself.
Temples can't do that.
Of course they can't. Spiritually, they're supposed to do it. But if the people are not participating, if people are not taking responsibility for their own lives and own good, if they don't admit their lackings and only looking for someone to blame or to depend on, it doesn't worth it. This is not the teaching that we didn't get to the right conclusion yet. And I'm telling you, unfortunately, I feel that we're not ready for that redemption and next temple that we suppose we miss the wrong concept. We miss a temple because we still want to be dependent on it. Because we still want something. We want that now Mashiach. Okay, Mashiach, Mashiach. We want someone to solve all of our problems. We still don't want to participate. We just want to get rid of our problems. And I'm telling you, I want to convert. What are you looking for? What are you looking for? What is driving you? You think you're going to get to a higher level? You think you're going to be bigger, smarter, more important, spiritual? Whatever. What is driving you? Ask yourself those questions. Or you want to participate in something. Or you have something to give. You have something to really contribute. This is what needs to drive us in our missions. This is the real goal that we need. And if you're doing it out of that, I adore you. That's amazing in my eyes. And if not, you need to ask yourself, am I doing the right thing? That information that we say that the answer could be information, the Torah could be information, or it could be a real teaching and real change in my life, it depends in the way I do it. So you can go to the Rabbanut and finish the process and convert. Is it only an information, or it's something a lot more than that? This is the question. This is the question. And this is the exile. This is the exile that we want, that our teachers are not educators. That our teachers take their students all of the to finish the experience without experiencing. That we want to stay dependent on someone's good. A real guide, a real teacher, a real Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us out loud and clear, my own good is not enough to be dependent on. It's not enough. It's not never going to be enough. Because even if I would succeed in that mission that you're asking me, you're not going to honor it, you're not going to enjoy it, you're not going to feel satisfaction in your life. And without satisfaction, life is bad. No one that feels no satisfaction in his life as good life. The feeling of satisfaction is the basic start of good life. This is the exile. This is the destruction. And this is what Hashem says. I took and I used all of my angers and I destroyed the stones and the trees instead of killing you. And I exiled you all over the globe. And this is my merciness. It is. It's not a punishment. It's to bring you somewhere that you're going to start asking the real questions that you need to ask yourself. And start letting other voices drive you. But if you choose to continue sitting and whining, why is that? Why is this? Why? I don't deserve, I do deserve. It's the same. I don't deserve it. This is why I don't have it. Or I deserve it and why I don't get it. It's the same. Because it's not about deserving it. True love and true kindness must be out of no reason. Unconditional love means that it doesn't matter if you deserve it or not. This is unconditional love. So I deserve it or I don't deserve it, you don't believe in unconditional love. You have no faith at all. At least not according the way of the Israeli legacy that began at Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and gone through Moshe Rabbeinu, that is higher and bigger than Avraham even, because he was able to take all of the Torah and bring it down to earth and to give it to us, that we're going to be able to look at it and to find messages in it.
We shouldn't rely on the Beit HaMikdash.
Yes.
So what are we mourning for?
Beit HaMikdash is, according to my perspective, is going to be a result of the change.
Right. So, but then people cry because it was destroyed.
Yes.
So what is that?
It was a result to a change that didn't happen.
So they're crying because Jews aren't good enough.
There are too many learnings about Beit HaMikdash and about Mashiach and about the first temples. But I'm trying to be direct in the teaching to us, in our generation, in our days, to understand what we lack. Because lacking a Beit HaMikdash, you don't lack it at all. You never been to it. We talked about it last week. An orphan that lost his parents before he was born, he's not able to miss his parents. He's missing a concept that he saw in other houses, that he saw in life. It's awful. He's really lacking something huge, of course. But to miss those two people, he's not able because he never met them. Right? So we don't miss no temple, basically. We need to understand what we lack of and to understand that the temple is a lot more than that. It's not a solution for our problems. It's a lot more than that. But we're looking for something. Okay, I want not to be in a minus in my bank account. Please, Mashiach, please arrive. That's stupidity. Exactly, stupidity is that. It's a natural want, it's a natural need. We want to get rid of our problems, grow up. This is what I'm saying. And I'm saying that with all of the honesty, saying that I'm not even close to be not according to halacha, in the meaning of like being righteous or something. I'm totally far away, I'm totally twisted, I'm... It's not because I'm perfect. to claim or to demand from someone. I'm just sharing my inner conversation with you. That's it. True redemption is something that we're not able to imagine. We're commanded to wish and to try to imagine the best we can, but it's going to be a true reality. A true reality with true stones and trees, with true holidays, with it's going to really be. It's not the only the numbers in your bank account. And that change is happening. And this is the only reason to believe that it's going to happen. But it's going to take a lot more time. A lot more. It's amazing, you know, 200 years ago, 400 years ago, everyone knew that it's not time yet. And today everyone is talking, no, Mashiach, Mashiach, redemption, is like it's about to happen. Only by a miracle it's going to happen, and I'm not sure that it's good. Because we're not going to participate if it's going to happen by miracle. All of the purpose of creation was to give a free choice and for the creatures to choose good. And the final huge redemption of that creation is going to happen in a miracle without the creatures that have the free choice and choosing good. That's a total failure. How can you even wish for that? It's a disgrace for Hashem. It's a disgrace for the Creator. And that's the biggest exile that we're at. That's the biggest destruction that we're at. And on that we need to cry. That we don't even understand how we're disgracing the Creator. Because we think it's because we deserve or not deserve. We need to look for a different approach. And it's only, and I'm talking about an approach, nothing actual. As long as it's all about what I did and what I didn't did, what he did, what they do, when a reality is going to look that way or this way or according to, it's all if you deserve or don't deserve. The approach needs to be totally different to really, really believe in the unconditional love of the Creator. And that unconditional love is enough. It's enough to show that Hashem is going to give all of the good and all of the bounty that you need. And when it's preventing something, it's because I need to ask myself a hard question that I'm too afraid to ask. But I need to ask it. And to use that faith and understanding of that unconditional love.
Wait, what do you need to ask?
To ask myself that hard question.
Of
whatever situation that you're at. It's going to change according to the situation. But the root of that question is, what is driving me? What is the purpose in my life?
But that doesn't have an answer.
I told you, the question is a lot more than the answer. Really? You want that answer? There is no answer. Even that answer will satisfy you.
No.
Just to have an answer.
What's my purpose in life? That would be great to know.
Yes, but if I tell you the answer is there is no.
Yeah, it's better.
It's better than just being
yeah.
in the space of question.
Yeah.
Yeah, so work on your patience. Yeah, so you need more. Unfortunately, I know. No, it's not a... We know what we know, we don't know what we don't know. And unfortunately, there are too many things that we think that we know and we actually don't know as well. To run away from arrogance like fire and not to make nothing information. To bring everything to the field of life, of experience, of feelings, of thoughts, of, but not to make it an information. Okay, let's put that aside. Everything is a part. All of the details in reality is a part of something. All details of reality is a part of something. To honor it. To honor reality. To honor reality is to honor Hashem. And to honor reality and to honor Hashem is to have a holy temple within you. And Bezrat Hashem, it's going to really happen. Again, it's not only a private experience. It's going to somehow happen physically and truly in reality. But I can't see when. I am not able to see yet. Not able to see yet.
I think a lot of people are doing good.
Baruch Hashem. Yes. Again, if it's going to happen, too many people are not going to participate in it.
Well, why can't you look at the positive?
What?
Why can't you look at
it? Because I'm talking about Tisha B'Av now, not about...
Oh.
Really, really, yes. This is the mood. Okay. Good luck, everybody.